microphone is recording.
All right, there's cats ready. Cats are watching. All right. Heyo, and welcome to the first recording of Give Yourself Goosebumps, the R.L. Stine Goosebumps Choose Your Own Adventure series. The first one I'll be reading is number 3, Trapped in Batwing Hall. Woo, that's spooky. I'm fairly confident we just have Annie and Alex here, and don't think Alex can even post. Maybe I'll pull up the old Facebook chat. All right, let's do this. Okay, let me read the warning. Also, if I can't read, you gotta bear with me, because this is the first time I've actually read it off a book as opposed to a PDF file. All right. Beware. Do not read this book from beginning to end. Oh, that's not really a good warning. Making friends in your new town is harder than you thought. The kids in your school are members of the Horror Club. They have their meetings after dark in Batwing Hall, a rundown house that's haunted by the ghost of Professor Krupnik. When the Horror Club decides to play a spooky game, you really want to join in, but then you find out you'll have to search the professor's cursed crypt in the cemetery, or face an ancient mummy, a witch, and a hungry werewolf, or the terrifying ghost of Professor Krupnik himself, before the night is through. You're in control of the scary adventure. You decide what will happen, and then you decide how terrifying the scares will be. Start on page 1, then follow the instructions at the bottom of each page. You make the choices. If you make the right ones, you have a really cool adventure. If you make the wrong ones, beware. So take a deep breath, cross your fingers, and turn the page 1, or turn to page 1. Now, to give yourself goosebumps! Alright. Let me see if I can get a video recording going of this bitch. This is exciting. Oh, Christ! Bear is... No, I can't. No, I cannot. Alright. On to page 1. Annie, should we go to page 1? Alex, how do you feel about page 1? Censored, yes. I don't know how to change the Ustream settings, so censored it is, motherfuckface. All right. Page 1. This town stinks. It's Friday afternoon, the end of your first week at your new school. Your family just moved to this town last month, and so far, no one at school has even tried to be your friend. Day after day, you sit in class waiting for someone to talk to you, waiting and staring at all the strange faces around you. How can you possibly go through the year without any friends, you wonder? You're cool. You smoke cigarettes. What's cooler than that? You know you are. You had tons of friends at your old school. You trudge home slowly. All you have to look forward to is a boring weekend of watching TV with your parents and your bratty little brother. Then, something hits the back of your jacket. You whirl around. A pebble drops onto the ground. You glance up and notice a brown-haired boy about your age.
Hi! He calls out. I'm Nick!
Hi, you reply and introduce yourself.
We're in the same class at school, Nick says.
That's funny, you think. You don't remember seeing him there, but you smile anyway. You're so happy someone is finally talking to you.
I'm in there,
Nick tells you. He points to a 2-story greenhouse in the next block.
Right there!
You look back at him, shocked. But you can't live there, you exclaim. There's no way. All right, the bottom of this just says, go on to page 2. There's no other choice, so you guys... everyone's cool with that, or... Alright, we're going on to page 2.
What do you mean I can't live there?
Nick asks, asking.
I know my house!
I live next door, you tell him. You point to the red brick house next to the green one. The greenhouse has been empty all month. There haven't been any lights on. No cars in the driveway.
I was on vacation with my family! We got back last night!
Nick says.
What do you think of school?
Okay,
I guess.
you reply. You're afraid to say any more. You never know. Maybe this kid Nick actually likes school. What a loser. Screw you, school. And screw you, teachers, B.
Can you believe how much homework our teacher gave us this weekend?
Nick complains. He kicks a stone down the street as you walk.
All the kids who had Mr. McCormick last year say he's really tough and mean. A total monster!
You agree. The next thing you know, you and Nick are comparing favorite rock groups and comic books. Both of you collect Spider-Man and all sorts of Prism comics. Nick has all the first issues from the last 5 years, too.
All the... Alright.
Comics are cool, Nick says. But do you know what is even cooler?
What? You ask. At this point, you're assuming Nick might be deaf.
Horror stories, Nick exclaims. In fact, I...
He stops and stares at you.
What? You ask. What about horror stories?
It's probably way too scary for you, Nick replies.
Nothing's too scary for me, you boast, and light a sweet cigarette.
Ah, yeah.
That's because you never been to the horror club, Nick says.
What's that?
Nick groans. It's a club I belong to. You've got to be really brave to be a member. When we meet, we tell spooky stories. Really scary.
Wait, am I Nick? Oh, no.
All right, sorry. Cool, you reply. I love scary stories. Can I join?
If you think you can handle it, Nick says. We meet every Friday, and I at Batwing Hall. That's the deserted house at the end of our street. It was old Professor Krupnik's house. I've seen the house.
Oh, sorry, this is you. You're not... You don't sound like that. I've seen the house. It looks haunted, you tell Nick with a laugh.
Don't laugh, he warns you. It is haunted.
Hurry to page 100. I'm on it.
This isn't a lot of adventure choosing at this point.
Alright. The bottom of this one does have a choice, so we're gonna keep going. Haunted? Are you for real? You ask. Siberiously? Are you serious? Why so serious?
For real, Nick replies seriously. That's why we picked it. Some of the scariest stories I've ever heard happened at Batwing Hall.
Like what?
Like the story of the kids on Halloween night, Nick says. They were all dressed up, trick-or-tweeting. They ran to Krupnik's doorbell. A figure dressed in all black answered, and the kids were invited inside. Only they never came out!
What happened? You ask breathlessly.
Nobody knows, Nick replies. But late at night, you can still hear the kids' screams. Horrible screams. And when the moon is full, some people say they see little creatures in monster costumes roaming about inside the house, trapped forever.
Whoa, great story.
It's not a story, Nick tells you.
Being a member of the Horror Club can be dangerous.
Very dangerous.
He pauses, then adds,
Today is Friday. We meet tonight. Do you want to come? What do you think?
What's up? Oh, you're just watching?
All right. Risk it and go to the horror club tonight. Turn to page 17. Say thanks anyway and go to page 91. What are we doing, guys? Are we going to the horror club? Are we saying thanks anyway, but I don't know. Yeah? Yeah? Huh? All right, horror club. We're going to the horror club. It's a horror show. Come on down, horror show. Horses brown.
All right.
We're gonna go to the horror club. I'm so excited.
I don't know if I'm supposed to sing the page numbers like I normally sing the chapters, but I'm just gonna go with it.
Page 17. The horror club sounds great, you tell Nick. Count me in.
I'll meet you in front of the house at 9 o'clock tonight, Nick says.
You agree and say goodbye. Then you rush into your kitchen to find your parents. You tell them you've made a friend and you've been invited to a club meeting. They're so happy for you. Of course, you don't tell them the meeting is in a deserted
boarded up old house. At 9 o'clock, you join Nick under the elm tree in your front yard. A skinny, fidgety girl with messy, long hair waits with Nick.
This is Debbie, he tells you. She's a member of the club, too. We let girls in. We can't touch them in their area, so we have to go to the counselor again.
Hi,
Debbie says. You can barely see her face under her thick black hair, and she always seems to be squirming about. You wonder what's with this strange girl. You follow your new friends up the hill to the end of the long, dark street. The further you go, the fewer houses there are. At the end of the road, all the streetlights are out. The sky is pitch black. If it weren't for Nick's flashlight, you'd probably trip over your own feet.
There it is,
Nick says, pointing.
Batwing Hall.
Should we turn to page 96, or do we
turn to page 96?
I'm going to turn to page 96.
All right, this one has a choice. Don't worry, guys.
Page 96.
A huge, dark shadow looms at the end of the street. It's the mansion. You stop walking and gaze up at it. Nick shines his flashlight at the old house on the hill. Batwing Hall is a two-story, old-fashioned house. All the windows that aren't boarded up are broken. Loose shingles flap on Alex's back. Paint peels from the weathered sides of the house. It looks as if no one has lived there for hundreds of years. You climb up to the sagging porch with Nick and Debbie. Tall, overgrown trees and bushes cast eerie shadows across the deserted lawn.
Isn't this place awesome?
Debbie whispers to you.
Really cool.
You agree.
This house has been empty for 2 years,
Nick tells you.
Ever since crazy old Professor Kopnik died.
No one will buy it because it's haunted,
Debbie explains. You notice she's chewing nervously at the ends of her long hair. Yuck.
The front door was boarded up until we figured out how to pry it open, Debbie says.
She points to a large wooden door. Let's go. You take a step forward.
Stop!
Nick shouts.
Get down now!
If you do as Nick says, hurry to page 19. If you ignore him and head for the door, go to page 85. Are we gonna do as Nick says, or are we gonna ignore him and head for the door?
Oh!
Wait. Kelly says ignore them. Annie says do as he says, and Alex says ignore him.
What? I understand how two against one works.
All right. We're going to ignore him. Sorry, Annie. That's what we're doing. We're going to page 85. All right. Whew. Nick's just trying to scare you, you think? He's testing you to see if you're brave enough for the horror club. You shrug and rush forward. You dash across the front porch and squeeze through a narrow space in the boards covering the front door. You land on your knees with a thud. As soon as you hit the floor, a piercing alarm sounds through the house. What's going on, you wonder? You gaze around quickly. Nick and Debbie are nowhere to be found. The dark house seems empty. You hold your ears, trying to block out the horrible noise. And then, through a dusty window, you see lights. Red, whirling lights. The police! You have set off a burglar alarm. Now you're in big trouble. How will you ever explain this to your mom and dad? Too bad. It looks as if your adventure is over before it began. The end. Someone should have listened to Annie, Alex, and Kelly. All right. Do we go forward? Is that what we do now? Do we? All right. We go back. I go back. All right. We're going back to The front door was boarded up until we figured out how to pry it open, Debbie says. She points to the large wooden door. Let's go. You take a step forward.
Stop! Nick shouts. Get down now.
All right, we're going to do as Nick says. Judging by his tone, we can tell he's pretty much on top of things. All right.
All right. What is it? You cry as your body hits the ground.
We've got to be careful, Nick whispers. If anyone catches us going in the front door, we could be in big trouble. We're not really allowed in here, and if anyone gets in trouble, you just stand still and you go, Game Master! Game Master! Then the Game Master comes.
You nod, apprehensively. Alright, I can do sound effects. God damn it, Alex, I got it. You nod and watch Debbie as she squirms and glances around nervously. You wonder why your new friends are so jumpy. You can't imagine how anyone could possibly see you in the darkness, but you figure Nick and Debbie know what they're doing. You stand and follow Nick and Debbie across the porch, keeping as quietly as possible. You pull off the broken boards on the front door. You enter the dark house. The air in the entryway is stale and dusty. Hey, thanks for the theme song, Dusty. You hold back a sneeze. Nick motions for you to follow him. You creep after Nick and Debbie down a dark hallway. The floorboards creak loudly with each step.
Is that what
you wanted, dude? I used my knuckles to simulate the walking.
And then you enter a big, dimly lit living room. A broken chandelier sways from the ceiling. The faded wallpaper hangs in pieces from the wall. Dirty sheets cover what appears to be old sofas and chairs. And then you see them.
Do we want to turn to page 75? Or just kind of hang out and drink? All right.
Four kids sit in a circle on the living room floor. A big yellow candle flickers in the center.
Ah, they must have mixed some sticks with some coal, made some torches, or made red rock torches. Am I right, Alex? Am I right? Because Minecraft!
All right, sorry. Four kids sit in a circle on the living room floor, a big yellow candle in the center. They all turn and stare at you. No one seems to be happy to see you. You stand awkwardly as Nick introduces you and said, "This is our newest member." What are you talking about? Cries a girl with short, curly red hair. Gross. She glares at you.
I brought a new member to the whole club, Nick repeats.
Not today, exclaims a large boy with bulging arm muscles. Why not? Debbie asks, squirming next to you.
Didn't anyone tell you? Asked another girl. Tonight's the special night. You've got to get that kid out of here. We're not telling stories tonight. The plan has changed. Oh my god. Discover what's happening tonight on page 128? Or give up and play Minecraft for hours? Alright. Sorry I tore you away from that, Alex. I do apologize.
Page 128, which is twice the bitrate I use for this. What's up?
I'm just trying to read the chat.
Okay. Nick and Debbie quickly leave your side and huddle together with the other kids. You hear them arguing about you. Then, one voice rises above the others. But today's game day, you know what that means.
I don't, you suddenly call out.
You're sick of standing there. You want to know what's going on. It works. All six kids stop arguing. The girl with the red hair stepped toward you.
I'm Marcy. You would be named Marcy.
She tells you. There are no stories tonight. We're playing games instead. But new members can't play. It's a rule.
Can't you break the rules just this one time? You asked.
These aren't ordinary games, warns the boy with the large muscles.
These games are scary. Really scary.
The scarier the better.
You're messing me up here, Kel.
You announce bravely. This starts another argument. Some kids want you to stay and play. Others want you to leave. Debbie hurries over to your side. Through her mane of dark hair, she whispers, "Go home. Go home now." But at that moment, Marcy announces, "It's decided. You can stay and play games with us."
Great, you say, ignoring Debbie. What are we going to play? Do you want to turn to page 66? I feel like this is... like, the only options we've had so far, like, do you want to give up? Or do you want to keep going? All right, this one has an option.
The game is called Hunt. The Hunt.
The Gathering.
Marcy tells you, I'm captain of the blue team. Nick is captain of the red team. You watch as Nick picks Debbie and a skinny boy named Connor to be on his team. Connor has short, bristly hair and a very strange smell. As Connor walks by, you decide he smells as if he's been lying in a dumpster. For the blue team, Marcy chooses a beautiful girl with long blonde hair and green eyes. Her name is Lara. She smiles shyly at you. You feel a rumbling in your pants. Do you turn to page 96 and go and fap? Or did I say 96 again and ruin the joke because I just said that? Her name is Lara. She smiles shyly at you. Marcy also picks the guy in the muscle shirt.
Hi, I'm Martin, the kid says, pounding you on the back.
Welcome to the horror club. He laughs, then flexes his muscles. You step back. Martin's arm is bigger than your whole body. That's three on each team, Marcy announces. Our new member can join either one. She turns to you. It's up to you. Which will you join? Would you rather hang out with Nick, Debbie, and Connor on the red team? Or would you rather hang out with Lara, Marcy, and Martin on the blue team? To join the red team, turn to page 88. To join the blue team, turn to page 33.
Next team.
I got red team, one vote. Oh, yep, Nick is on red team. Everyone's going red. Going to page 88. I choose the red team, you announce. Fine, Marcy said. The red team will stay in the house for the games. The blue team will go outside. See you later. Marcy, Laura, and Martin leave the house. You turn to your new teammates with a smile. You're looking forward to the games.
I'm glad you're on our team, Nick says. We're having a scavenger hunt. Everything has to be found inside the house.
Cool, you reply. I love scavenger hunts. Where's the list?
Here it is, Debbie says, handing you a piece of white paper.
You read the list of items out loud. Horror Club Scavenger Hunt. 1. Human bone. 3. Hairs from a werewolf. A. Straw from a witch's broom. A. Piece from a mummy's bandage.
Go to page 79. God damn it.
You read the list again. Then you start to laugh. He got... These guys really take the horror club stuff seriously, you think. Still laughing, you point to the list and say, great joke, very funny. Why are you laughing? Connor demands. This list, it's a riot. You reply. You wonder why no one else has even cracked a smile.
It's not a joke, Nick insists. That's the list for a scavenger hunt.
Give me a break, you say. You expect me to believe that? Where would I find these things?
In this house, Debbie replies matter-of-factly.
Yeah, right, you scoff. I'm supposed to believe that there's really werewolves and witches and mummies?
Realistically, I know it's not in the house, but you kind of should believe that there's mummies. But, whatever.
Excuse me. Mummies are older than 2,000 years, and that's when Jesus Christ fed to the earth.
Doesn't count.
All right. It's true, Connor says. Do you want me to prove it? Nick asks, with an evil grin. A very evil grin.
Doing this.
What's Nick up to? Turn to page 47.
Do you guys see how sweet that cover is? It's glittery. Hey, Alex, remember we got this at the swap meet, and then you bought the plant that was like peppers? But it wasn't jalapenos, because jalapenos don't bloom year-round.
I remember.
Yeah.
They were chilies! It turns out they're chilies!
All right.
Okay, you say, go ahead. You asked for it, Nick says. He glances at Debbie and Connor. They nod with excitement. What's going on, you wonder? Slowly, Nick brings his hands up to his cheeks. He hooks his thumbs under his chin and rips his face right the fuck off! You gasp. The head of a green-skinned reptilian monster stares at you from the top of Nick's body. Slimy scales cover his face and begin to spread down his arms and hands. That took a quick turn. Nick, you choke out. The monster grins at you with 6-inch long fangs. Its beady yellow eyes gaze at you hungrily. You turn to Debbie and Connor and scream. They're peeling off their faces too. You gape in horror like a sweet, sweet young belladonna. Her skin is now purple and covered with hideous oozing warts. Her eyes have turned completely white and seem to bulge out of her head and her hair. It's wiggling with enormous black tarantulas. Now you know the truth. These kids are monsters. What next? Go to page 114, you dingus. Okay. You turn and sprint for the front door, but the entrance is blocked by Connor. He grabs your shoulder and you nervously stare up at him. Way up. Sorry, I was just double checking this recording. Connor's turned into a 7-foot-tall giant with one eye in the middle of his fucking forehead, and the stench coming off his body is fucking unbearable. What the fuck are you gonna do? He growls. I gotta go home. You duck under Connor's massive arm and lunge for the doorknob. And miss. Wish that was a choice, am I right? The monster that used to be Nick beat you to it. Nick locks the door and says, "Not so fast. It's time for the scavenger hunt. Scavenger hunt. Scavenger hunt." Scavenger hunt? There's no way you're sticking around to play a game with monsters. Unless this is all a joke. Hey, that's it. You think it's all a joke? They must be wearing monster costumes. No, you think again. They can't be wearing costumes. They're way too real looking. Quick, you have to make up your mind. Annie and Alex, if you're sure it's all a joke, then turn to page 13. If you believe the monsters are real, then go to page 71. All right, you guys, do we believe in monsters? Okay. Kelly, Annie says that that it's all a joke in turn to 13, and that monsters only exist at Comic-Con, but Alex says that the monsters are real, and you go to page 71. I think she's in the potty. Wait. Oh, Alex changed his mind. Deciding vote. Swing vote. Swing vote. Barafaladonta. Barafaladonta. All right. Sorry. All right. We're turning page 13. You're sure Nick, Debbie, and Connor are playing a joke on you. You turn and stare at Nick's reptile-like face. A long forked tongue darts out at you. You wonder how he does that. Excellent costume, guys, you say. You really got me, Connor growls. Okay, enough. Joke's over, you announce. Take the masks off. Nobody moves. You reach over to Nick and grab his face. If he won't take his mask off, you'll do it for him. The scales feel slippery. You tug and tug and tug and tug and come. And then you know, it isn't a mask. Nick is a monster. Too bad you didn't believe him. Too bad, because with one chomp of Nick's reptile sharp fangs, you will come to a monstrous end. I mean, that's the end, guys. Really dropped the ball on that one. No, that ended. Am I? Do you want me to keep going, or are we doing a little bit more, or is that it? That might be it. Can we get a consensus on the Dune Reads Goosebumps? Do we keep going, or we're dead twice? Okay, we got one saying go and one saying twice. I'll play Minecraft when I'm done.
You yell a lot.
I know, that's how I get my point across. Like easy cusses. All right, we got one more life left. Let's just do this all the time with three lives, yes?
You're right.
All right. Bud, what's this?
Just start reading, you like so.
All right, one more life. All right. If you believe the monsters are real, go to page 71. I'm going to edit those turning page sounds into all the other books because I want to make it seem like I own the books. Really, bud? My dog's on my shoulder, in case, you know? All right, cool. You stare at Nick, Debbie, and Connor's gruesome faces. There's no question they're monsters. Ah, real monsters. Let me out of here, you cry. Nick still blocks the door. You spot a window in the living room. You take a deep breath and race for it. You're fast. You always win the 50-yard dash at school, but against these monsters, you're not fast enough. Debbie easily beats you to the window. The tarantulas scurry through her spiderweb hair as she crackles. There's no way out! Please let me go home! I don't tell anyone you're sick, just let me go home! I wanna go home! No way! Nick cries as he enters the living room with Connor. That's no way to escape from the horror club! Well, Debbie says, that's not exactly true. There's one way out. You gaze around the room, searching frantically for an exit. The three monsters circle you. Well, there's only three, so they'd have to triangle you. You don't see any way past them. Where is it? You ask. How do I get out? Nick glares at Debbie. Your only hope, Debbie says, ignoring Nick, is to play the game. Turn to page 48. Don't worry, guys. This one's got a choice, and we only got one life left. What game? You ask Debbie, your voice trembling. The scavenger hunt, she declares. If you can find all four items on the list before midnight, Nick adds, then we'll let you go. If you fail, then you will be trapped with us forever and turned into a monster. Not much of a choice, huh? Your knees shake as you review the scavenger hunt list in your mind. Where will you ever find werewolf hair and mummy bandages? Then again, you don't have many options. But maybe, you think, you can use the time to search for an open window and escape. You've only got 2 hours, Connor growls, looking at the tiny watch on his huge wrist. You'd better get started. You could begin here on the main floor, or go upstairs, Nick tells you, his reptile tongue darting in and out of his mouth. It's your choice. All right, what are we doing? Do we stay on the main floor and turn to page 11? Or try our luck upstairs and turn to page 11111. What do we do? Do we do the things or we not do the things? Okay, we got one vote for 11111, which is upstairs. Annie, we're going upstairs. All right, we're all going upstairs. Hey, Alex, we're going upstairs. Like the knocking sound you wanted me to make. All right, this is it. This is our last slide. Let's see how it goes. Upstairs, you tell the monsters. I'll search there first. Connor begins to laugh, a low, deep laugh. Did you hear that? He tells the others. Upstairs, this should be good. Have you made a wrong choice, you wonder? It doesn't matter. You have to do something. You cross your fingers that there may be some way to escape upstairs, a way out of this house of horrors. You head toward the main staircase in the front hall. There's no electricity in the old mansion. Your shadow flickers in the spooky light of the kerosene lanterns. Debbie follows close behind you. You pick up your pace, just in case one of the huge tarantulas decides to jump from her hair onto yours. Gross! The stairs are covered with a thick layer of dust. Slowly, you start to climb, one step, then another. The wooden boards creak and groan under your weight. The staircase stretches upward until total darkness. Behind you, the three monsters noisily whisper to each other. You don't know what they're saying, and you don't care. You just want to get the fuck out of there. You take a deep breath. It's time. Time to escape. You hold shift and sprint forward. Page 28. All right, this one's got a choice, guys. We got to do it. All right. Before you go too far, you feel a strange tingling sensation all over your body. But you don't have to worry. You don't have time to worry about it. You must escape. The monsters are gaining on you. You fly up the stairs now, two steps at a time, and then you stop. The tingling is getting worse. You keep going. Keep going! You say to yourself. You've got to keep going. The monsters are only a few steps behind. You try to run, but you can't. Something's wrong. You're stuck in the middle of the staircase. You can't move up. Your legs are paralyzed. Nick, Debbie, and Connor close in on you. Connor's odor makes you gag, but you're trapped, frozen in place. Need some help? Nick asks with an evil snicker. All right. If you accept the monster's help, go to page 51. If you refuse, go to page 61. Do you want help from a monster or not? You know? I mean, I generally like to hang out with Nick as much as possible. He's a cool guy. All right. We got one vote for accepting help from a monster. Votes? 10? 9? 8? 7?
6, 6, 6.
5? 4? 3? Okay, everyone wants monster help. It's decided. Alright, we're going to page 51. Really? Really? Is showing off the hamster necessary? All right. Yes, help, you cry, still frozen in place. Then you hear Connor's deep, rumbling laughter. You fell for it. You fell for our trick, he taunts. What trick, you ask? The force field. You're trapped in the force field, Connor tells you. Debbie and Nick laugh along with him. Force field, you exclaim. Turn it off. Let me out of here. Sorry. Nick says with a reptile-like hiss. Sorry. You can't escape from Batwing Hall. That's right, Debbie snares. The force field doesn't turn off until 1 minute after midnight. That's 1 minute after you've turned into a monster, Connor leers. Then the monsters lumber down the stairs, leaving you alone, trapped in the force field. You glance at your watch. Time is ticking away. You struggle, trying to break through, but you can't budge. You're stuck. Stuck until midnight. Until it's time. Time for a monster of a change! The end. That's three lives right there. You guys died three times. I didn't make those choices. I would have survived. You know, there's a hamster on the screen again. Annie says she only died twice. Are you really? The hamster is completely unnecessary. That's Charlie the hamster. Annie, do you really want to go again? Annie, are we still going? We doing one more? Annie, we going one more? No? Dear God, Michelle? Where the fuck was I? Anyone? Anyone have any advice as to where we were? What's going on? Why am I pointing the camera at the... No, we're not live feeding Minecraft. Nick Shots. Anyone? Alright, F it. I think we're done. We done? We done, everyone? Alright, we're going to page 61. Because AJB2000 says so. Oh wait, is that actually where we were? The hell? Alright, fine. We're going on. Wow! Who are you, AJB2000? You are helpful at remembering things that I do.
All right. Fuck it. Let's do it. Page 61. This is where we're running away from the monsters as opposed to participating in this nonsense. "Get away," you cry out to the monsters. "I don't need your help." The three monsters laugh and laugh. You try to ignore them and concentrate on moving. "He doesn't get it. He's a dummy," you hear Nick whisper to Debbie. "He doesn't know he's trapped in a force field."
A force field? Ah, no!
You've got to find a way out, somehow, but how? You can't move forward, you can't move backward. You squeeze your eyes shut and struggle against the invisible field. But it seems to be getting stronger the harder you fight, like fucking quicksand. Frustrated, you let your body go limp. Except for one part. Then you notice something. The areas where your muscles are totally relaxed aren't tingling quite so much. Maybe that's the key. Maybe the force field is activated by your fear. Ah, it makes perfect sense right away. You flop onto the stairs. You close your eyes. You concentrate on fun, happy things. Cake with ice cream. Swimming in the ocean. Hand jobs. Playing baseball with your friends. You start to fall down the stairs. You did it. You free yourself, you breathe a long sigh of relief, and then you scramble down the stairs and return to the living room, and then you turn to motherfucking page 11. We could have gone to 11 already if you guys didn't want to go to 111, okay? We could have been there already, alright? Are we there yet? I like the kids in the car. I'm going to search the main floor, you tell the monsters.
Not of luck!
Nick sneers. You glance around the dark, creepy mansion. You know escape is going to be tough. You decide to do the scavenger hunt. You'll play along with the monsters, but still search for a way out. Either way, you promised yourself you won't let them turn you into a monster. You search the living room first. A curtain of cobwebs dangles from the ceiling. You have to part them to search the room. Yuck! The only furniture in the room is an old sofa and two overstuffed chairs. You lift the cushions to search for the creepy things on the list. Could there really be a human bone under there, you wonder? You nearly choke from the flying dust and the angel dust, but no bone! You peer under the furniture. Nothing. Then, Connor sneaks up on you. He kicks a dust ball in your face. The clock is ticking. He booms. You stare up at his one bloodshot eye and escape into the next room. It's an old-fashioned dining room. A long wooden table stands in the middle of the room. As you step forward towards the table, something black and hairy jumps on you. I think I had like a Parliament Funkadelic thing going on. But it was some sort of joke. Alright, we're going to 97. Okay. It's a huge black rat, and it scurries across your sneaker. You jump back and scream, "Ah!" You can hear the rat's sharp claws scratching across the floorboards as it disappears into the living room. You wonder what other gross creatures are crawling under this old house.
Will you hand me one of those highlights?
Really? You decide to head into the kitchen. Clomp, clomp, clomp. You can hear Nick, Debbie, and Connor following you. If you're afraid of a little rat, Nick hisses in your ear, then you're going to be in big trouble later. Big trouble. You try to ignore Nick, even though your knees shake at his warning.
Really, though? Seriously? What are you microwaving?
That's not like an official thing.
What are you microwaving? You're microwaving corn for the hamster and you interrupted me?
It's made for hamsters.
Okay.
You try to ignore Nick, even though your knees shake at his warning. You spot a kerosene lamp on the kitchen table. You pick it up so you can see in the dark corners of the kitchen better. The kitchen is filled with cupboards, closets, and shelves. Anything could be hidden here. You pull open a drawer after drawer. Clouds of dust make your eyes itch. Then, in the next drawer you open, you see them. Bandages. But are these mummies' bandages? You hope they are. Shoving several in your pocket, one item off the list, you think. Then, hideous screams cut through the air. Page 12. Alright, this one's got some choices, so I'll plow through it pretty quick. After the fucking microwave stops beeping, you put... That's not a microwave-safe plate. It really isn't. All right.
Could it be a human scream? You've never heard a human scream that sounds like that. You whirl around in the direction of the scream. Debbie! Debbie is the one screaming. No! She shrieks again and hurries over to you. Can't you read? Debbie cries, the warts on her face oozing green goo. This is not what you want. These aren't mummy bandages. Debbie snatches the bandages from your pockets and tosses them on the floor. Don't waste your time, she cries. You step back and try to think. There's no way to escape from the kitchen. Connor is guarding the doors and Nick is by the window. You have to find the items on the list. You gaze around and then head for a tall, narrow closet. A freeze in horror. A thick pool of something red and sticky is seeping underneath the door. It looks like blood. All right, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Do we open the closet door and turn to page 83? Or do we go back and check the dining room again on page 78?
Who cares?
We've got one vote for closet door. Two votes for closet door.
That's enough votes for me. And we switch from Steel Reserve to Miller High Life because I'm living it. All right, check the closet door. Page 83.
Your heart thuds as you approach the closet door. The pool of blood grows larger on the floor. Slowly, you pull the door open and gasp. There's no dead body in the closet, no dead anything, only a broken jar. A jar of raspberry jam dripping onto the floor. You sigh with relief and explore the closet further. The shelves are crammed with rusty cans of vegetables and moldy sacks of flowers. I just finished reading The Road, so I'm like, oh my god, there's rusty cans, take them, put them in your shopping cart, feed them to the boy. Anyway. You quickly search all the shelves, but find nothing. Then you spot it. A plastic shoebox on the bottom shelf. You reach down and open it. You can't believe your fucking eyes! Nestled in the center of the box on a dark piece of cloth is the skeleton of a human hand. Ah, gross! You moan. You try not to wonder whose hand it was and how it got in the box. You found a skeleton in the closet, Debbie sings out. You nod. You're glad you found something on the list. But you don't want to touch the hand. You start to carry the box away from the closet, but Nick stops you.
The list says you need one bone from a human hand, not the whole hand, he reminds you.
His reptile tongue darts in and out of his mouth. You stare down at the hand. One bone. Page 67.
You need only one bone. You take a deep breath and grab hold of the skeleton hand. The yellowed fingers feel icy cold. You grasp the pinky and twist. It comes loose with a sickening snap. You drop it in your pocket and try not to think about it too much. You glance at the list again. Now all you have to do is find the three other items. Three hairs from a werewolf, a straw from a witch's broom, and a piece from a mummy's bandage. The faster the better, you think. You dart out of the kitchen and return to the dining room. Psst. Psst. You gaze around nervously. Over here, Debbie whispers from a shadowy corner. Find out what Debbie wants. Turn to page 6, you dingus. All right, this one has a choice. You guys, you excited to make a choice? Debbie is standing by herself in the corner. You figure Nick and Connor must still be in the kitchen. You approach cautiously. Do you really think this scavenger hunt is for real? She asks, glancing toward the kitchen. Yeah, you say. You guys promised that you'll let me go if I find the items by midnight. Debbie starts laughing. A hideous, crackling laugh. That was horrible. Fool, she cries. It's a joke. You're never going to make it out, and you're never going to make out with this. You don't know whether to believe her or not. What do you mean?
you ask? Debbie slithers closer. I'm on your side, she whispers. I used to be a regular kid like you. Then I joined the horror club. Now look what's happened to me. You stare in amazement at Debbie's hideous monster face. Is she for real? Are you for real?
Like the video of the Antoine Dodson.
Was she really once a kid like you? I want to help you, she says. If you follow me, I'll help you escape.
I love the censoring on the chat. Now she's, censored.
Anyway, if you think Debbie's telling the truth, follow her on page 86. If you think it's best to continue the hunt, then turn to page 16.
Alright, we... what are we doing? We think Debbie's telling the truth and we're going to 86, or do you think it's best to continue the hunt and turn to 16? All right, Algb 2000 says 16. Anyone else? No, Bueller, like in the movie, Ferris Bueller's Fun Adventure. Okay, we're going to 16.
Kelly!
16.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say, I'm sorry I yelled at you for microwaving things. I like warm food as well.
All right.
16. No offense, you tell Debbie, but I'm going to continue the scavenger hunt. For a moment, Debbie only stares at you. Then, her purple skin begins to grow darker and darker.
How dare you doubt me, she cries. Is this the thanks I get for trying to help?
She raises her arms, and now you can see she has a long, very sharp set of claws. She lunges for you. You leap back, trying to decide what direction to run, when something goes splat right across your neck. You reach up and feel prickly hair and legs and warm, round body. There's a tarantula on your neck! Gross! The creature's legs ding in your skin like sharp needles. It begins to nibble at your skin. You scream and flick it to the ground. Debbie laughs. She reaches for another deadly spider, but you spot a dark hall and race down it. Debbie and the tarantulas follow. You run and run and find yourself standing in front of two doors. One is painted orange. The other is painted green. Pick a door quickly before you are eaten alive by tarantulas. Don't they just eat crickets? Calm. Okay, everyone. Okay, everyone's saying green. Okay, dog. 420.
All right.
Nice. Everyone, just calm down. Yeah, you say green is safety, but the house is also green. You ever think about that?
Yeah. All right. The dirty nerdy.
You pull open the green door. You find yourself back in the living room. The house is like a never-ending maze, you think. You glance behind you. No sign of Debbie, Nick, or Connor. You check your watch. It's 10:50 p.m., the latest you've ever been up. You have only a little over an hour before you turn into a fucking monster. You're trying to decide what to do next when you hear a strange noise. Thump. Thump. Scrape. The noise grows louder and louder. Thump. Thump. Scrape. You slowly turn and find yourself staring at a mummy, a 6-foot-tall mummy wrapped in old yellow bandages that are starting to unravel. Its eyeless, mouthless, bandaged face seems to stare back at you. A sour smell invades your nostrils. You shit yourself. The smell of decay, or rotting flesh, or death. You gag and hold your nose, then the mummy turns stiffly and disappears down a hallway. You don't want to follow it, but you need mummy bandages for the scavenger hunt. You have to follow. You have no choice. You get that, listeners? You have no choice. We're just turning on to page 26. Hey, what do you guys want to choose? Fuck it. You don't get a choice. All right. Listening to me to fall asleep is kind of rad. This is the greatest thing to watch when you're drunk. Heyo! All right. Addiction issues. Yeah. I can't believe there's a real mummy in this house, you think to yourself as you chase him down the hallway. Down hallway after dark hallway, the mummy turns a corner. You're about to turn too when you hear a familiar voice behind the pink door.
Hey, getting up in that pink door. Hey-oh!
You peek through a crack in the door and spot Nick, Connor, and Demi. Debbie. They seem to be talking about you. The monsters obviously don't know you're there. Should you stop and listen? Maybe you'll hear something that will help you escape. Or is it better to follow the mummy? To eavesdrop, turn to page 65. What the hell's going on with this? If we want to follow the money, you go to some mummy, go to some other shit and stuff. 94. All right, sorry. Ustream's being a little Nick, if you know what I'm saying. All right. Wait, is there following? Okay, follow the mummy or drop some eaves. Are we dropping eaves like Samwise or following the mummy? Follow the mummy. We got 2 votes for follow the mummy. Show me the mummy. Like that movie from the 90s with the sci-fag guy. All right, we're all following the mummy. I got 94. That's a freeway by my house. Brendan Fraser. Speaking of the mummy movies or whatever, you can hear a story on the last Comics Online podcast regarding me watching the mummy. Or the mummy, or Scorpion King on mushrooms. That's very interesting. Page 94. You hurry down the hall after the mummy. There's not much time. You still need 3 more items for the scavenger hunt. There doesn't seem to be any way to get out of Batwing Hall. As you continue, the putrid smell of my burp grows stronger. Then, at the end of the hall, you see a beautiful gold mummy case. And leaning against the wall beside it is the mummy! Like that one mummy book we read. Or I read to you. The mummy's head rests on the case. Strange snorting noises come from under its bandages. With a start, you realize that the noises are snores. The mummy's asleep. Ah, like my dad when he watches golf. Yeah, I know. I didn't say mummy case. They said mummy case in the Night of the Living Dummy or whatever the fuck that was too. Not like a sarcophagus or coffin or whatever the God damn it, I don't know the word for mummy case. Damn it, I've ruined my commentary. Anyway, the mummy rests his head in the case. Strange noises coming from under the bandages. With a start, you realize the noises are snores. The mummy is asleep. You know that a piece of the mummy's bandage is on the list. But what's the best way to get one? You spot some torn piece of the bandage inside the mummy case. Should you take a piece from there? Or should you try to pull a strip off the sleeping mummy? Either way, you'd better hurry. It's less than an hour until midnight. What? Alright, so to take a piece of bandage from the case, turn to page 117. To tear a strip off the mummy, sneak over to page 39. Pull the mummy. Alright, we're giving the mummy a pull job. That's the first thing. Pull it off the mummy? Yeah? Alright. It's confusing, Alex, that you talk to me on Facebook chat, so it's Facebook chat's open and then that's too. Rip that mummy's dick off. Understandable. Alright. 39. Oh, you're Alex. What the fuck? Oh, I would have commented and given you a shout-out prior to, had I been able to pronounce your name. Is it just like Darren with a T? You know I'm white and grow up in an all-Mexican neighborhood. I don't understand. Taron? Turok? Turok. Really? I could have given it more. I only gave, like, one name right away at the beginning, you know? It could have been more. All right, So, Taron. I try to be, like, worldly. Like, hey, Alex, you still want to go see Anthony Bourdain at the end of this month or whenever that is? Taron. Taron. Do you understand? I'm, like, overweight, white, and fucking... Like, I don't understand different cultures, you know? Like, it's been days since a Ron Paul, or not Ron Paul, fucking, fuck my jokes. Fuck every, god damn it, I'm gonna read. Alright. Did I say 39 or 30? Alright. You hold your breath and approach the sleeping mummy. What will happen if you wake it? You move carefully, inch by inch. You reach your hand out towards the money. Snorf!
I could have done a better snoring sound like David Allen Greer, like...
You jump back.
So it's Taron?
Sorry. You jump back and let out... The mummy lets out a disgusting snore. You pause, then reach out again. This time, you manage to grab a small piece of bandage that is dangling from his left arm. Quickly, you pull. The bandage rips free, and the mummy didn't even move. What a sleeper! You have two of the four items on the list, the human bone and the mummy's bandage. Now, you only need a straw from a witch's broom and three hairs from a werewolf. But time is ticking. I've searched downstairs pretty well, you think to yourself, so the other items must be upstairs. You spot a narrow circular staircase behind the mummy case. Up, up, up. Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, select, start. Around and around you go. You're getting really dizzy, and the air is ice cold up there. Your teeth begin to chatter. Suddenly, the staircase ends in the middle of a musty corridor. You can turn left or right. Which way do you go? Also, why am I still recording this while I could probably download It's Always Sunny right now? Oh, fuck it. It doesn't matter. All right. If you are wearing a sweater or sweatshirt, turn to page 29. Otherwise, head left on page 68. Really? Really, if you're wearing a sweater or sweatshirt, turn to page 29. Otherwise, head left. Anyone got a sweater or sweatshirt on? It's fucking hot. I'd like to have the door open. Why do you have a sweatshirt on, Kelly? Yeah, quit lying to me. All right, we all good or not having... Yeah, I do like, he is quite... I like the R.L. Stein. He's like, what are you kids wearing? Write me a letter if you're not wearing anything. Turn to page contact. All right, so none of us are wearing that shit. So we're just going to head left and go to 68. All right. You turn left and jog down the narrow hallway. You listen for the three monsters, but all you hear are your own sneakers slapping against the hard floorboards as you run.
Hey, Alex!
The end of the hall is dark, pitch black. You wish you had a fleshlight. You can't even see your own feet. You slow down and place one hand on the wall to guide you. You wonder if you should turn back. Then you feel something. Something rough and bristly. Your fingers tighten around it. You squint in blackness. It's a rope. Oh no, there's another rope hitting your face. And another rope. Ah, pearl necklace! I'm sorry. It's a rope. You realize suddenly it's a rope ladder. The ladder runs up the wall. You decide to climb it. You've got nothing to lose, you figure. And there might be a way out at the top. You grab on tightly to the rope and begin to climb. The rope rubs roughly against your hands, making them burn, but you ignore the pain and keep climbing. The ladder sways from side to side with each step. Your stomach lurches, but you continue on. You concentrate on not looking down. Then you hit the final rung. You carefully reach a hand up to the ceiling and feel a sliding door.
Okay, 131.
Can you guys see my sweet full collection of packaged Star Trek The Next Generation figures in the background?
Alright, 131.
Fuck you! Star Wars had three good movies. Trek had like hundreds and hundreds of hours of great shows. I'm not even counting original series. Fuck original series. But Next Generation and Deep Space Nine is... Ah, you're wrong. You're just wrong. Now I'm too mad to read. It's done. Yeah. All right.
You slide open the door and lift yourself onto the moonlit room with a slanted ceiling. Old furniture and trunks of clothes are strewn everywhere. Crouching, you make your way over to the little window. You peer out and sigh. You are three stories up. You must be in the attic, you realize. There's no way you can climb out of the window. You'll never make it to the ground alive. You shuffle back across the floor, trying to think of a plan as you poke around in the junk.
Kelly, can I poke around in the junk? Heyo!
Alright. Sorry, I lost myself.
As you poke around in the junk, you spot a tall, clean, clear box at the far end of the attic. There appears to be something black in it, and leaning against it. Is it a broom?
Could that be the witch's broom? The one on the scavenger hunt list? You hurry over to investigate. Help me! A shrill voice cries as you reach for the broom. The voice is coming from the box. There's a woman trapped inside. Her face is lined with deep wrinkles. Her long, knotted gray hair flows over a black dress. Wow, you gasp. Her face is lined with deep wrinkles. Her long, knotted gray hair flows over her dress. I totally reread this. Wow, you gasp. The woman stares at you. Her green eyes seem to pierce through your flesh. At last, she wails. I've been waiting 200 years for you. Turn to page 107. Okay, no problem. Is it a trap like Line Trap or a trap like the Death Star? Forget it. What? You cry? I've been imprisoned in this magic box for 2 centuries, the witch goes on. All this time I've waited for someone to set me free. Really? You say doubtfully. This sounds a lot like those fairy tales your mom used to read to you when you were 5 years old. You're not a baby anymore. You're 13. You can almost vote. Please help me, the woman pleads. You glance at your watch, and then over to the broom. I'd like to help you, you say, but I have to find a straw from a witch's broom really fast, otherwise I'll turn into a monster. Man, I don't... Girls are giving me that excuse. Well, I'm a witch, the woman tells you. All right. And I have a broom. Help me and I'll help you. If you're a witch, can't you say a spell to escape? Don't you think I've already tried that? The witch spits back. It didn't work! Your gaze travels from the witch to the broom in the back and back to your watch. Only 15 minutes until midnight. What should you do? What should you do? Alright, sorry. If you choose to help the witch, go to 95. If you choose to leave that bitch in a box and grab her broom, go to page 44. Hey, witch in a box. Like that web video that wasn't good. Double tap that Zombielands. I do appreciate that. 95. Okay, so we got one vote for helping the witch and one vote for shooting her twice in the head. That's it. All right, we're helping her. Page 95. I got Minecraft to play. Alright. Okay, you tell the witch. I'll try to help you. You won't regret it, she promises. Hurry around to the back of the box. Go to the back box, the good box. You do as she said. On the back of the clear box are 2 handprints. Place your hand on the prints, the witch insists. Once again, you follow her request. Now repeat after me. Arakaram... Amakaru. You chant the magic words. Now clap your hands, she says. You clap. Nothing happens. You clap again. Still nothing. What's going on? You demand impatiently. I must have gotten you the wrong spell, she admits. I'm a little rusty with my magic after all these years. Now what are those words? Klatu varat clat clink cl- Yeah. I've seen Army of Darkness like 1,000 times. This works out well. Oh no, I slept too long! Like the director's cut? No. Anyway, Now what were those words? Hurry, you cry. It's 10 minutes until midnight. You've got to pull your hands away from that box. But they're stuck, as if they were glued. Hurry, you urge her again. I've got it, she announces. Say these words. Spamumpsbagoog. Spamumpskaboog. You notice the witch has her fingers crossed. Not a good sign. You repeat the magic words. Page 18, 18 the page. Motherfuckers turn into page 18. Hey, Alex, how was that, the Choose Your Own Adventure you got that just said, like, you are a shark or whatever? Is that good? Oh, fuck it. Zang! With a loud, vibrating noise, the glass box vanishes. The witch stands before you. The magic worked. Thank you. Oh, thank you, the witch gushes. No problem, you say.
But time is running. You're right, the witch says. Time's running out. She thrusts a broom into your hands. Be careful how you remove the straw, she warns. Excellent! You cry. Now, all you have to do is pluck 3 hairs from a werewolf. Easy, the witch scoffs. I know where to find a werewolf. You do? You ask incredulously. Sure, the witch says. I think that was the longest book in, or word in a Goosebumps book, incredulously. Sure, the witch says. The werewolf is in the basement, or at least he was 200 years ago. You can take the elevator Professor Krupnik installed. She proudly points to a small elevator in the corner of the attic. Then she disappears in a puff of bright pink smoke. Poof. You hurry to the elevator. The door magically opens. Quickly you step inside, but the broom gets stuck in the opening. You frantically try to pull out a straw, but none will come out. You could break one off, you think, but then you remember the witch's warning. If you take a chance and break off a straw, turn to page 21. Try to squeeze the broom into the elevator, turn to page 115. Boom into the elevator. Boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room. We'll spend the night together, together in my room. Okay, broom into the elevator. Got it. You decide not to risk breaking off a straw. You stand in front of the tiny elevator with the broom. You scratch your head. The broom is definitely too tall, and the elevator opening is too short. How will you possibly make the broom fit, you wonder? Time is ticking away. You have only one chance. You turn the broom diagonally and try to wedge it through the elevator door. It works! This guy's never moved, ever, clearly. You quickly jump into the elevator yourself, and the floor drops out from beneath your feet. The broom tumbles down the elevator shaft. You grab the railing on the elevator wall. There's nothing between you and the basement but air. You hang on, gripping so tightly your knuckles turn white. What will you do now? There's no way you can crawl back out, and if you let go, you'll plunge to your death. Help! You cry out, help! But you know no one will help you. Your fingers start to slip. You try to grip the railing more tightly, but one finger falls away. Then another. Page 49. Did anyone see the Always Sunny premiere yet? I heard that Charlie and Frank try to get married or something. You're hanging on to the elevator railing by one hand now. You start to say your prayers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hey, Taran, what kind of crazy... Is the Dexter premiere on tonight? Torrance, you're so old school, dude.
Go to the forums at Quicksilver Screen.
I know next week Dexter's on. Everything's on next week, bro. Anyway, you start to say your prayers when you hear a strange sound whooshing around. A bright blue glow fills the dark air shaft. You glance down. It's the witch's broom, glowing blue, floating up through the air. You bellow with joy. Rah, rah, rah. I don't know what that means. The next thing you know, the magic broom swoops underneath you. Without thinking, you throw your arms around the broom handle and start jerking it. And you're off with a loud whoosh. The broom flies you down to the basement. With a ride, you leap off the broom onto the solid ground. You're safe, you think. And then you hear the snarling. You spin around and spot a furnace belching bright yellow flames. And next to it sits a huge cage with a pacing, snarling werewolf inside. Clang! The werewolf crashes head-on into the side of the cage. The howl is and howls in frustration. His fangs snap at you. You back up a step. You bite your lips as you stare at the hairy beast. Familiar laughter fills the room as Nick, Debbie, and Connor slide down the basement staircase banister.
What the matter? Nick taunts you. Not having fun?
Only 4 minutes are left, Connor reminds you, pointing at his small watch. If you don't get 3 hairs in the werewolf by then, you'll turn into one of us.
Doesn't that sound rad? You know? To me it does.
But that's not so bad, is it? Debbie says. I mean, don't you think I'm beautiful? She plucks a tarantula from her hair and wiggles it at you. You gaze at her hideous face and shudder. You'll do anything to avoid turning into a monster like that, bitch. Cautiously, you step up to the cage. You stick your hand between the iron bars. Slowly, slowly, you reach the werewolf. The beast's jaws snap at your fingers, barely missing them. You pull your hand back, trembling.
There's only one way to get the hairs, Nick says. You have to go in the werewolf cage.
Go to 127. Oh, fuck.
Nick's right, you'll have to go into the cage. Still holding the witch's broom, you approach the werewolf. Connor and Debbie laugh, but you focus on the hairy beast. With each step you take, it growls louder. Then, suddenly, the creature whimpers, whatever. His ears flatten against his head. He's afraid, you realize, but of what? You reach for the cage door. The werewolf whines loudly. The broom! It's scared of the witch's broom. Duh. You don't know why, and you don't give a fuck. You hold the broom in front of you with confidence. You open the door and squeeze into the cage. The beast lunges at you. Quickly, you thrust the broom at it. The werewolf backs off, but only a few paces. Nice going, wimp, Connor taunts you. Only 2 minutes left. The werewolf drops to all fours. He snarls, sniffing at you and the broom. Now he reminds you of a very large dog. Hey, you think, maybe the answer is to treat the werewolf like a dog. Command him in the same way you'd command your own dog. Or you could pretend to be a werewolf. Maybe that way he'll let you close enough to pluck hairs. Well, which one do you guys try? Do you command him on 122, or do you pretend to be a werewolf on 101?
is try to command him, and 101 is the other one of pretending to be a werewolf.
You say 122, but that's because you have control over your own dog. But, you know how my dog is. He just kind of does his own thing and jumps in your lap while you're hanging out.
Alright, 122 it is, motherfuckface. Okay, we're going to try to command the werewolf.
You have a plan. You'll command the werewolf as if you were a dog. You know from training your own dog, Spots, that it's important to be firm. Show the dog that you're boss. You hold on the broom in front of you as you step forward boldly.
You stare at the werewolf in the eye.
Sit! You instruct your most commanding voice. The werewolf snarls, but then he sits. Good boy! You try not to get too excited. Now stay!
The werewolf eyes you, but doesn't move a muscle.
Good!
You praise. Now the hard part. Will you be able to pluck hairs from the beast without him biting your fucking head off?
Bong! Bong!
420. Your heart jumps as you recognize the sound of the clock chiming. Chiming midnight.
Bong! Bong!
You've got to move fast. You step close to the werewolf. You issue your final command.
It's the final command. Da-da-na-na. Turning to PJs.
Okay.
Shake!
You instruct the werewolf. The 11th chime rings out. Hurry, you think. Hurry! The werewolf holds out his paw. Quickly, you pluck 3 hairs from his forearm.
The final chime never rings. Instead, there's an enormous thunderclap. The force shakes the house.
I did it, you cry, dancing in a circle. I've got the 4 items.
There's no answer. You gaze around the basement. It's empty.
No Nick. No Debbie, no Connor, no werewolf.
Where is everyone? You shout, I won!
The fire in the furnace has turned to cold ashes. You head for the staircase and climb upstairs.
Hey, Nick!
Debbie? Connor, you call out.
I'm here!
Cries a familiar voice. It's Nick. You race up the stairs 2 at a time. You follow his voice to the living room of Batwing Hall.
You feel around in your pocket. You still have the human bone, the mummy bandage, and the werewolf hairs. In your other hand, you hold the witch's broom.
You have to get all the items on the list. The monsters have to let you go, right?
You step into the living room.
page 105. I think Turin left. Okay. God damn it. I have all the items on the list, you announce as you enter the dark living room. I found the human bone, the mummy's bandage, the witch's broom, and I even got three hairs from the werewolf.
What are you talking about?
Nick interrupts. You gasp. You can't believe your eyes. There sit Nick, Debbie, and Connor in a circle on the living room floor. But they're not monsters. They look like normal kids. What happened, you cry? Why did you change back?
Change back? Debbie asks, running a hand through a long, spider-free hair.
Change back from what?
From monsters, you say.
Come on, you guys. I know what you really are. Don't play any more games.
Hey, Nick, Connor says. Your new friend is nuts. Monsters! That's a good one.
But the scavenger, huh? And the mummy and the skeleton, you try to explain. The three kids stare at you with blank expressions as you stammer.
Listen, Debbie tells you, standing up and leading you in their circle.
You're just in time for Nick's very spooky story. You sit on the floor, your mind spinning.
Page 90.
Nick begins his story.
There were once three kids. They look like kids you meet every day at school or in the playground. But these kids were different. Not like me, but like really different. They were under an evil spell. A spell that turned them into monsters. And there was only one way to release them from it.
What's that? Connor asked, leaning forward.
They had to find another kid who had passed a horrible, deadly test. No kid had ever completed the test and lived to tell about it,
Nick continues in a low voice.
The test was a scavenger hunt, and the kid would have to find four creepy, impossible things. Only then would the monsters change back to kids.
What happened? Debbie asked breathlessly. You stand up and head for the front door. You're going home. You have a funny feeling. You know exactly how this story is going to end. The end. The end. By Dune Murderous on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Reader beware. Choose your scare. All right. Anyone have any questions or anything? Anything I can do before watching Sunny and playing Minecraft? Any question or answers going on? No? No?
Alright, you guys got like 10 seconds.
Why does R.L. Stein so good at spelling? R.L. Stein, I assume, is fine at spelling. The problem is I read the PDFs, which I'm sure he didn't put out. So, I'm sure that either someone scanned them or wrote them down themselves. Ooh, I fucked up like you did. And, so that's why this book had no spelling errors. It was the first one I've encountered, but it was the real book. Every other time I read off, PDFs that I downloaded from the internets. Anything else? Fuck you, Trek is always going to be better than Star Wars. Trek! It's like real, dude. It's like, oh my god, Star Wars is some crazy fantasy world, but Star Trek's what's going to happen to us. It's what's happening when humans get rid of all their problems and move forward into space. And then you got so many better races and stuff. Oh my god. And the diplomacy, it's not all just like, hey, I'm George Lucas. That being said, check this shit out. Yeah, you see that? That is a walking, talking R2-D2. What do I... And it has Q. You're right, it does have Q. My girlfriend got me that for my birthday years and years ago. Anyway, the Sandman, the comic, or the Spider-Man character, the Neil Gaiman comic? What do I think? What Sandman? Neil Gaiman? Not into it, actually. Read the first three trades. I don't know. I don't know why I'm not into it, but I'm not super into it. I have
a good friend that I used to do a podcast with called How to Steal Comics. That's his favorite by far. He has all the statues and everything. It's not my favorite. I like my favorite comics, actually. It's only have 13 issues so far. I think it might have ended. It's called Dr. Sleepless. It's on Avatar, written by Warren Ellis. And then I have a shit ton of I have all the Preacher figures and all the Preacher and everything. Really obsessed with Preacher. Transmetropolitan, I like. Pretty much any Warren Ellis. But all the 90s Vertigo and 2000s Avatar Press I really am into. But not into Sandman. I don't know. Sorry, dude. I got the sweet poster at Comic-Con 2 years ago. Anyway, anything else before we do the Stay Spooky thing? Yeah, you can actually download Dr. Sleepless. There's actually a good torrent that has all of Warren Ellis' shit, which I would suggest getting, and I think they're up to date on Dr. Sleepless. But I actually, I bought the hardcover trade, which is $35, and lent it out to my buddy who lives in Orange County and I live in San Diego, and just fuck it, and rebought it because I love it so much. That being said, anything else? Anything? Yeah? No? Yeah? 10? 9? 8? Alright! Well, should I do this again? I think I'm gonna do it. Fuck it. This is Dune. This is Dune Reads Goosebumps. My voice is going out, and, it's past 10 o'clock. I can check Woot. Stay spooky, bitches!